You're doing a good job. Trey, you're falling down on the job here. Hey, we as a board have really allowed for SEPA to go out and be a good advocate for our utilities as a whole. And so really that's what I'm trying to drive towards here. So I would, you know, if I could push you guys in that direction, I'd really like to do that because I think it's really important to capture. Again, there's a lot here that you guys have that's wide open and that you haven't really tackled or addressed. But the things that you're doing well, when you're doing them well, it's never an issue. But when things go sideways on you and you don't have something in place, that's when you're concerned about it.
Thanks for that.
Okay, great. Right. Okay, great.
Great.
So,
we can have all that by the next one.
Yeah, so before he gets into the relicensing, one of the things that that I appreciated in the communications in regards to the board, the staff, and legislation is when they did the rides at Swan Lake, we had a number of agencies that we had to deal with up front. And in regards to getting the permits for that, and staff brought back to the board, and the board agreed that let's be proactive and ask them what they want to try to make this process smoother and the transition into getting this thing done, I think, easier. And I think it paid great dividends in what we did. But it doesn't mean that we were just compliant to doing exactly what they said. If we saw something that didn't make sense, I mean, they had some good conversations, and I think we were able to change some directions in that. So I think that if we rather than be resistant, we be proactive, is we move easier through the process.
See, now that's great direction, Bob. And that's, yeah. Now you're giving him some ideas, because ultimately, are you proactive or are you reactive? Mm-hmm. Reactive typically isn't a really good place to be. Proactive, establishing a relationship, you already indicated you have a great congressional delegation, a very strong place. Like, if you're giving Trey direction to say that, hey, we want you to proactively go out and look out for our interests, that's a deliverable. That's a good thing to codify.
The other thing is we also did the Argo thing, and how long did that take? The simple fact that we wanted to maintain our lines with an Argo, and we got crosswise with the Forest Service, I think it was, and Fish in regards to streams, it was a ridiculous project. But they were dogged about it, and they worked hard to get the regulations in line so that we could move forward with that process.
Yeah, and that'll help you as an organization too, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
If I could, just another example in the same line, and this is total reactivity, that we were issued a notice by the Regulatory Commission of Alaska that Thomas Bay Power Authority had transferred its wholesale power license without approval by the RCA. And that came out of nowhere. That was nothing that the board was really cognizant of or aware of, and Trey just, you know, worked it. You know, we helped. I brought it. That's something that Kirk and his firm helped us with. And we ultimately worked through that problem with the board's knowledge. At key points, you were informed about what we were doing, and it ended up being successful. So just another, you know, good example of something popping up in the regulatory world that could have had an impact to us and was resolved.
Good. Other discussion? Okay. So I think what I heard was Trey's doing a great job. You'd like him to be more proactive, and it helps with your other efforts in particular in relation to the delegation and with agencies.
Yep.
Okay. Let me capture that. We'll do the objectives, and then I think we can move on this one.
But I would, you know, I think that Trey's going to have to give us a better explanation of what relicensing really means. You know, I know how to relicense my car, but I'm not so sure I know how to relicense a project.
Yeah. Well, you know, the one thing I would say about that is, you know, when we talked about what's happening in 2030, Trey was right on it, that we're going to be in that. But you have to understand, it's your lifeblood. You don't have a guarantee that you're going to get your license back. I mean, you don't. So, you know, it's where you get your power. So it's going to be a large undertaking to make sure that you cover your flanks. And you know, because the flanks will be exposed, there's a lot of people that have a chance to dig into your license and get part of it. And so the enormity of it should not be lost on the board as you go move forward. It's a high-stakes game that you can win, you know, but you got to understand going in that it's high stakes. And that would be my one note of caution. I mean, but you have the right people in place. It's just that you need to keep your eye on the ball.
And I think the board needs to make sure that at the time that we run such a lean machine that additional resources are provided through that time period as well. And I think we always, with all of these tasks for Trey that are stacking up, we need to be supportive to allow for Trey to access consultants and short-term contracts and things that he needs in order to get these things done. Because I do worry about the amount that's put on the staff, and we all want to keep our staff lean and mean, and we don't want to pay the benefits and so on, but we have to pony up in another way. Otherwise, you're going to lose people, and we don't want to do that either.
So what I've got here on the objectives would be, if you guys are open to this, would be create and share an advocacy outreach strategy. So that would be something potentially that could come from Trey. Really, I think what it would be is he just captures what he's doing now, the organizations he's affiliated, and the level of effort that he's asserting both in Congress and with the agencies. I think that's pretty straightforward. And then on the hydro relicensing, I'll need some help. So what would be a deliverable here in terms of an objective on hydro relicensing?
Well, I think that one of the objectives would be to share the information freely between the communities and see, because right now in the city of Ketchikan, we're starting into a relicensing project also. And there may be lessons learned, or it's a resource where they could share the information and share their knowledge in regards to how to work through, because it's going to affect what happens to one is going to affect the other at some point in time. So I know they're all somewhat different, but we deal with the same regulatory issues as we go through. So they may be able to warn you of a hiccup coming, or they can tell you how they work through something.
So what
or not.
Would that information come in the form of?
I think it's just all the utility stakeholders staying connected and communicated in regards to the projects that they're working, so we can share that information.
Okay.
And you know, a lot of times people have resources that with contractors and stuff that the local communities may not have had, and they can steer them in a direction to where they get information and support, so, or vice versa.
Jeremy?
I think along with collaboration with the partners here that are going through the process, we could also have some kind of a presentation to the board that walks us through what that process is going to look like and what kind of decisions will have to end up being made before we actually get to it. So, you know, we're not sitting here in 3 years and all of a sudden we're being reactive to what the process actually is, as opposed to knowing what it's going to be there. So a little bit of maybe education is a deliverable to the board about what the process actually is going to be.
And we should probably pre-fund that. That's going to be $3 million or something. I don't know what it's going to cost to do that. But we should start putting in. Yeah, it'll be expensive. So we should start putting it into account so we're not, 10 years from now, we're not robbing from the operations our existing capital budgets in order to try to get enough money to go through this process. We need to pre-fund that.
With the relicensing, are both projects going to be? Are they happening at the same time, or are they staggered off?
So the licenses expire in 2030 and 2031, respectively, for the two projects. Typically, a 7-year process, estimated in the $2 to $3 million range per project. We'll see. Those costs will be spread out over a period of time, so there'll be studies that occur along. So, yeah, obviously, we'll have a strategy and a plan that comes out before that, because we're going to have to bring on consultants and probably a full-time person, because we're going to have two whole projects that you're going to have to shepherd through, and it's going to be a long process. So probably hire somebody full-time for that. One other thing I would put down on the relicensing, one of the efforts that I'm working on right now is relicensing reform. So if you look at the time schedule that we've got, the timeline, we've got a window here of about 2 to 3 years that we could potentially impact licensing reform legislation on the Fed level. One component of that is NEPA. That's currently in the rewrite phase. Hasn't been reviewed for 40 years. And so there's some common opportunities there and some opportunity to streamline that process. And then there's also some other relicensing reform things that are coming forward, which I think are important to us, could potentially shave a couple of years off of that effort. So,
Trey, is that work being done through the National Hydro Association?
Yeah, a fair amount of it is. And stakeholders like us are involved, actively involved in that.
Another one. Would you
say
staying involved
with trade associations,
relevant trade associations, as part of this?
Yes.
Okay.
I currently have a seat at the table on both on the state, regional, and federal levels for regulatory committees and such. So.
Capture our deliverables and the objectives here. So since we just talked about the hydro licensing, so really what we're looking at is deliver hydro licensing information, so you'd be issuing a report with what sounds like you're going to be putting together. And then we'll educate on the hydro licensing process, we'll provide material for review, and ask for action from the board. And then in terms of the when on that, what are we thinking?
So on the strategy report and how you're going to approach relicensing, you know, you can back that up from 2030, go 7 years back. That puts you in 2023 time frame. We'll probably be firming up something about in that time.
Okay. Human capital increase, same?
I think we'll have to hire a person for relicensing. It's a long effort, and you want to have continuity in that process.
Okay.
Throughout that, or else it can set you back considerably.
Great, and then I'm assuming there's going to be a financial component.
Yeah, definitely.
Yep. Okay. Yeah. All right, and then on the legislative, the creating and sharing an advocacy outreach strategy, that's the CEO, and then when would you want to provide that to the board?
Currently provide an update at each one of our meetings under a legislative heading, but as far as putting together a formal strategy, why don't we put that out into third quarter?
Great.
Since we got a bunch of stuff already landed.
See it happen. Yeah. You finally went, oh, I'm going to do stuff here. All right. Additional resources of financial or staff?
No.
Okay. And then stay involved with regional federal trades, state trade associations, CEO. Who's responsible for that?
Me.
Okay. Do the boards also have a hand in that?
They vote, I think one of the boards I'm on, they're required to vote in favor of supporting that I participate. And they're also, they also support funding that allows me to travel to those type of things.
Okay.
And
all right, so no human resources, but some funding, and then this is ongoing, correct?
Correct.
Great.
So, Trey, would we have to have or get a federal lobbyist to go for that?
So Bob asked about federal lobbyists, and so currently we have a state lobbyist, and then on the federal level, we use Troutman Sanders, used to use Van S. Veldman, but our key guy moved over. Right now we're using that entity on an as-needed basis rather than paying a big lump sum every year. We may increase our budget in that area as these things ratchet up, and I think there's an opportunity at licensing reform to do some positive stuff, and we may end up having to do that over the next 36 months.
All right, so I'm going to capture that because...
Before we go, I mean, for the good of the order, I think, Trey, you're putting a lot of things on your plate, but to get a report on your strategy on relicensing, you could do that in the third quarter of 21. I mean, there's no reason to do it third quarter this one because you know, you're still 2 years ahead.
I think that was the legislative strategy, if I heard that right.
Yeah, Q3 is the legislative, the outreach strategy, basically a game plan.
Your call. I mean,
So the legislative strategy, I'll put something out there here in a few months. I'll put that together and formalize it. I'm already doing it. It's just a matter of writing it down.
Make it harder.
Yeah. And then on the relicensing and that element, that we have like 36 months to, because you're going to have to figure out what you're going to do. You're going to have to put a whole plan together. You're going to have to do early engagement with your agencies to even identify what studies you have to do. And there's a whole long list of laundry list there that's going to take a while.
Okay, and I added, as part of that strategy, I added consideration for lobbying.
Okay.
So that's in there. Excellent. All right. So,
question.
Yeah.
So, with regard to starting to refund an account essentially for relicensing, that decision, that plan, budget plan needs to start now, essentially. So, that should be, it doesn't really need to be a plan, but probably you need to make a recommendation to us as to how much and when deposits need to start. And I don't know if there needs to be an amendment to this year's budget to handle that, or if it just moving forward.
So I'd say one advantage and disadvantage is it's spread out over several years. So your capital burn's going to be relatively slow. You could be chewing along. You might be able to suck it up in your say your annual contribution into a fund.
Okay.
So I think you have to. We got to identify the strategy and the steps that we'll need to do and costs associated with that and kind of back into that number.
Okay.
on how and when those funds will be needed. So I think it were probably early for that.
So it could be amortized over most of those 7 years rather than just...
I would think if it ends up being, say, just as an example, $2 to $3 million per project spread out over 7 years, I think you can suck it up in your budget. I'm hoping anyway.
Okay.
Yeah, as long as it, but you know how these relicensing things go. They can go sideways real fast, and there can also be the results of relicensing. We haven't talked about that either. I mean, you could have a mandatory conditioning authority that causes you to put in a fish hatchery or something.
Mitigation.
This mitigation stuff, that's the scary component.
Great. All right, so we knocked out another one. So here's our list of accomplished. You can't really see it here, but those are the accomplished topics that we've gone through. I just moved the legislative and regulatory over. We need to move on. And do we want to tackle administrative? It looks like engineering and operations didn't really hit, so that one may be on the bye-bye. But
I want to talk about diesel protocol.
Diesel protocol. All right, that's on power supply. All right.
It's a tough subject, but I think it's one that we've batted around and really it's a case-by-case basis, and we haven't come to a resolution on it. This has been through a couple different administrations. So understanding that SEPA is a wholesale power group that's selling hydro, and they have no obligation to provide diesel. And when there are extenuating circumstances that reduces the amount of hydro that can be delivered, then it falls on the community to make up that difference. And if they have hydro, great, but in most instances, we have to run diesel. And there's no set process by which we, how we have that conversation of when and who pays for diesel. Now, there may be times when SEPA wants to do an outage and they may ask a community to run diesel, and there may be an agreement about, well, if you're going to run your diesel because we got to do this, that we can help you with some of that. But if you have a catastrophic failure where we have a line go down or a plant go down, they're under no obligation to the community at that particular point in time to make it up. But the communities also have a limited ability to pay. I mean, and run diesel. I mean, they can't go on forever that way because it'll exhaust their resources in the community. And it falls back on the ratepayers who are already struggling in a declined economy. So it's a question that has arisen. We provided a vote to pay for some diesel through a SEPA process during the drought. And I'm not entirely sure that if that was the right move or not. I mean, I think that it certainly provided relief to the northern communities in regards to draft levels, sale and transfer of power, you know, all that kind of stuff. But I think we need to talk about it.
Steve? I don't think we should be paying for diesel runs for communities. However, and we don't. So recently we had peaking issues within the northern communities, and we did runs for I'm not sure how long, and we absorbed that. We paid for it. Because that was a peaking issue. We couldn't get enough power up to the communities to make it work, and so we took care of it. The issue that took place was a little bit different.
Yeah.
And it was unprecedented in terms of the request from Wrangell. It was just Wrangell that requested it. Petersburg never actually did request it. It was us.